Today we're going to examine three different Lashon Hara ethical dilemmas. So the first ethical dilemma goes like this. John spoke Lashon Hara against Steve, which caused Steve significant embarrassment. Steve didn't know that John was the source of the Lashon Hara. Months later, John wants to apologize to Steve, but he believes that if he tells Steve that he was the source of the Lashon Hara, it will cause much pain to Steve. What should he do? So when you commit a sin that's Bena Malachaveiro, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tafresh Aleph, in Arachayim Siman Tafresh Vav, Seif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says very clearly that Avera Shebena Malachaveiro Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper Ad Sheyefaisenu. That if you commit a sin against someone else, another person, you do not achieve atonement until you appease the person who you sin such that the person forgives you. You can't simply say sorry to God and achieve forgiveness. You have to apologize to the person. The Bach writes that Tzorech Lefarish Bishasa Machila Osa Pshia. You have to not simply say, do you forgive me? But you have to actually specify what you did wrong and ask for forgiveness. And the problem, of course, is that sometimes when you specify what you did, if the person didn't know what you did, if you specify now, you might cause him even more pain. He didn't know you spoke Lashon Hara against him. And now when you tell him, you might cause him even more pain. So the Chafetz Chaim in Lashon Hara, Klal Dalet Ost Yud Beis, says the following. He says that if you spoke Lashon Hara against your friend and you want to do tshuva, you want to repent. If the people whom you spoke Lashon Hara to rejected what you said and no harm came to the person, then the only sin you've committed is Bein Adam LaMakom. There are two elements or two components when we commit the sin of Lashon Hara. There is Bein Adam LaChaveiro, that's causing harm to someone, and Bein Adam LaMakom, you sinned against God. God told you not to speak Lashon Hara, and you sinned against God. So if you speak Lashon Hara, you did a bad act, so you sinned against God, and then if you cause harm to someone, you commit a sin Bein Adam LaChaveiro. However, if the person was not harmed, so all you have left is the Bein Adam LaMakom. You don't have to apologize to your friend because no harm was caused him. You just have to ask God for forgiveness. However, the Chafetz Chaim writes that if your friend was harmed by this, and Vafilum Chavero Eino Yodea Adain Klal Mizah, even if your friend didn't even know that you had caused him this pain or this suffering because or this harm because of speaking Lashon Hara, he didn't know about this. Tzarech Legalos Lo Masha Asa Negdo Shelo Kedin. You need to tell him that you acted inappropriately. And you need to ask for forgiveness for this sin. Because you know that you caused this person harm, so you have to ask for forgiveness, even though it may cause the other person harm. It was said that when the Chafetz Chaim went around to get haskamas for his sefer, to get approbations for his sefer, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter refused to give haskama to his sefer. It was said because he disagreed with this particular halacha. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said that if your friend doesn't know that you cause him pain and suffering, and if you tell him, you're going to cause him more pain, then Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says that you should simply ask him in a general way, be'ofen klali, a general way, to say, if I caused you any harm, do you forgive me? It seems, perhaps, that the Chafetz Chaim says that you have to correct your midah ra'ah, your bad midah. That's of paramount importance. That you had a midah ra'ah, you did something very bad, you spoke Lashon Hara, and you have to counteract that by, or you have to fix that by saying what you did and asking for forgiveness. You have to admit what you did. You have to go the whole nine yards, even if it will cause harm to someone. His most important issue is repairing that midah ra'ah, that bad trait of speaking Lashon Hara. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is focused more on the harm that's caused. If it's about minimizing harm, so in a situation where telling the person what you did will cause him harm, then you should not tell the person what you did, only ask in general about asking for forgiveness. Now, by the way, it could be that even though, according to Rousseau Salanter, you get off scot-free, it seems. You don't have to put yourself down and tell him definitively what you did, it doesn't necessarily end off better for you, because it simply means that you may not achieve atonement, full atonement, because you're not able to achieve the atonement, because by trying to achieve that atonement, you may cause even more pain to the other individual. But Moshe Sternbach takes a more in-between position in Krach Hei Simon Shin Tzadi Zayin. So he says what you should say is not in general a mechila stamit. He said, not simply, do you forgive me in general? He says, Rak yomar lo efshar shepagati besipur dvar negdecha. Maybe I said something inappropriate against you, ana machali, please forgive me. So what he's saying is, don't just say in general, I may have harmed you. Say, I may have spoken negatively against you. If I did, then please forgive me. So he wants you to get a little more in detail. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said another possible way of trying to achieve atonement. It's not always possible to do this, but what do you do when you speak Lashon Hara? What do? You spread negative information about the person. How do you fix it? By spreading positive information about the person to counteract that. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik suggests that in the instance of Lashon Hara, instead of begging for forgiveness, it's appropriate to spread information that will counteract the negative effects of the gossip. That might be another way to achieve some kind of atonement. Obviously, sometimes it's very difficult. That's our first Lashon Hara ethical dilemma. Our second Lashon Hara ethical dilemma is the following. Sarah is sitting with a group of friends at a Shabbos table, and they start gossiping. If she doesn't join in, then they likely will think that she is strange. May she join in? Must she rebuke or leave the group? Can she stay and remain silent? So the Chafetz Chaim deals with this in his Sefer, in Lashon Hara, Klal Aleph, and in Klal Vav, Seif Hei. With regard to speaking Lashon Hara, it's very clear. He cites Chazal, Mutav la'adam sheyikra shota kol yamav al yeh rasha sha'achas ibnei amakom. Better be called fool all your days rather than be a rasha one moment before God. You're absolutely never allowed to speak Lashon Hara. You're absolutely never allowed to gossip about someone, even if by doing so, people are going to call you a fool. So if you're a group of friends and the expectation is that you will gossip so they don't think you're strange, you're absolutely not allowed to gossip. Question is, are you allowed to stick around? It's obviously better to leave. If you can, depending on the relationship, it might be better to say, let's change the subject. And so sometimes if we're in a position to do so, to give meaningful tochacha, sometimes the only time you give tochacha, obviously if you have a relationship with the person. And so if you're able to say, we shouldn't speak like this, let's change the subject, or if you can leave the conversation, then obviously that's optimal. But sometimes it's not difficult. You're sitting at a Shabbos table, you can't just walk out. You don't have a relationship with the people to all of a sudden say, we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. So are you allowed to remain in the group? So Chafetz Chaim says, again, optimally it's better to try to stop them from speaking Lashon Hara. It's better to leave. Sometimes you're not able to. So you can stay as long as you fulfill three conditions. Condition number one, Yachlit benafsho beheskim gomor shel lahamin lehadivrei gnus shemisaprim al chavreihem. You decide definitively that you're not going to believe what they're saying. You're not allowed to believe what they're saying. There is a prohibition not only to speak Lashon Hara, there is a prohibition to listen to Lashon Hara, but that's only if you go to listen to the Lashon Hara. If you happen to be in a room and someone starts speaking Lashon Hara, and you hear it, but you don't believe it, you don't violate the prohibition of Shmia v'Kabbalas Lashon Hara, of accepting the Lashon Hara. That's the first condition. The second condition is Lo Yanicha La B'Shmia Sipurim HaAsur Ma'ela, that you're not benefiting from it. You don't enjoy hearing these forbidden stories. And the third condition is that Shel Laharos Dibnei Misapim Shum Tenua Shira Mimena Shum Maskim Divrayim. You can't convey based on your body language that you agree with what the speaker is saying. So again, if I'm in a situation where I can't leave the group and they're speaking Lashon Hara, I'm not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. I'm allowed to stay if I don't believe what they're saying. I don't I don't get benefit. I don't find it enjoyable, and I don't demonstrate any. I don't give over any impression that I agree to what the person who's speaking Lashon Hara is saying. Third and final Lashon Hara ethical dilemma. Rivka asked Leah about a potential shidduch. Leah knows that the guy has an anger management problem and he is trying to work on the problem with a psychologist. Must Leah disclose this to Rivka? What if he has diabetes? Should Leah at any point disclose these issues? What if she knows that it's not a good shidduch for Rivka because of the anger issues? So first of all, the Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud Oz Beis, provides seven conditions for when constructive Lashon Hara is permitted. So again, you know, generally speaking, we don't want to speak Lashon Hara, but sometimes there's a counter pressure. And that counter pressure is Lo Samad Adam Riecha, when you need to tell the information in order to save your friend from harm. It's not a situation of are you allowed to say this information. It's an issue of is it forbidden to say the information, or perhaps is it obligated? Are you obligated to say this information? Because either you're not allowed to kutz lashon hara, or lo samal dam riecha, don't stand idly by the blood of your friend. You're obligated to say this information. And there are seven conditions that need to be met before you could speak lashon hara according to the Chafetz Chaim. The first is you need to clarify the facts, so the facts are true. Number two, you need to clarify the halacha, that indeed not just the facts are accurate, but the person acted inappropriately according to halacha. Number three, if possible, before you spread this information, try to rebuke the person in private, so the person will change his or her ways. Number four, do not exaggerate. Condition number five, your intentions have to be pure, not because you hate the person who did this bad act, but you are trying to protect other people or you want to help the person do tshuva, to help the person repent. Number six, if you can achieve the end result without speaking Lashon Hara, it's better. And number seven, that you can't cause, you're not allowed to cause by virtue of your Lashon Hara, that the person about whom you spoke Lashon Hara about will be harmed far greater than had you taken this person to court. What that means, for example, is let's say you're an influencer on social media, and let's say you went to a restaurant, the waiter or waitress had a bad day, and the food was cold, or the food was late, and that cost you $30. And the person had a bad day, and now by you spreading it on social media, the store loses a tremendous amount of business, so that would violate condition number seven. So, when it comes to shidduchim, I think there are generally two primary issues. The first is that if the information is something that objectively, the Kilos Yaakov writes that if an issue is so severe that one would seek a divorce upon discovering after marriage, then you need to reveal that right away. If let's say the person has a violent personality, or let's say, you know, a normal situation where someone's looking for a frum spouse, someone who's fully Shomer Shabbos, Shomer Kashrus, that's the expectation, and someone's hiding from someone that they're not at all observant, and they don't keep Shabbos, don't keep kosher. And in those situations, based on their community where they're coming from, they absolutely would not stay married to that person. Under those circumstances, then you would be obligated, based on Lo Samad Adam Riecha, to share the information right away if it's information that your reasonable person would seek a divorce upon hearing this information. That's sort of one type of information. Then you have other types of information that perhaps people would consider to be, it wouldn't be the death knell perhaps to a relationship. It would be something that someone would want to know before getting engaged or before getting married. And I would call this like a Geneva's Das issue. There could be certain things. Let's say someone has maybe diabetes, maybe, or a certain medical condition, or someone has a past that it's the person doesn't have to know right away. Because sometimes if you're so picky in terms of who you're going to go out with, then people are never going to get to know each other. Sometimes you need to establish relationships before revealing secrets. Once you build a relationship with someone, then let's say the person has this issue or that issue, it's not so bad, and the other person looks at the first person's totality of their entire picture, and they say, okay, they have this issue, but I still love the person anyway. I still want to get married to them anyway. We believe, and many poskim believe, that you first should gain familiarity with a person before necessarily revealing information that would not necessarily end the marriage. Rabbi Willig has said that it is unwise to hide something that will ultimately be discovered, as the deceived party may harbor resentment for a long time, for a lifetime. In other words, if there's some information that an average party would want to know before getting married, so then you should reveal that information, because it's an issue of Gnevas Das. Rabbi Willig suggests halfway through. The courtship normally lasts 8 months, making up a number. Then at the four-month mark, then the partner should reveal that information. If you know the information, you should pressure the partner to reveal it to the person who he or she is going out with, so that there's no Gnevas Das. Rabbi Willig writes the following. It says, parents sometimes complain about a flaw disclosed after several dates that causes them to terminate the relationship. Why was it not discovered initially? My child would have avoided the investment of time and emotion. But he writes, the loss of one party must be balanced by the gain of the other to potentially find a marriage partner. So again, you have those objective issues that would definitely end the marriage, that you tell right away. You have the issues that most people would want to know before they get engaged. So that's a Gnevas Das issue that you should disclose, or have the partner disclose, you know, one party to tell the other party, let's say halfway through the courtship. And then they have other information. You have other information that if no one asks you, then you're not obligated to tell, because maybe they don't care. So if someone has, you know, a little issue here and there, they had a history and no one asks you about it, and most people wouldn't care about it, then you don't have to disclose information. If someone asks you directly something about that person, a certain character trait, so then you have to be truthful. At the same time, Rav Schachter has said that let's say you know that these two people aren't good for each other, that she's looking for someone who's very soft-spoken, and he's not soft-spoken. He has a certain undesirable quality that doesn't, you know, that is a big issue for her, because you know both people well. So condition number 6 of Hilchos Lashon Hara by the Chafetz Chaim is that if you could achieve your goal without speaking Lashon Hara, it's better. So based on this, Rav Schachter writes that if one is asked to comment on a potential shidduch, and the respondent feels the subject has undesirable qualities, an appropriate method for addressing the question without necessarily disparaging the subject is to ask the inquirer what they are looking for in a match, and to then respond that the subject does not fit that description. So these are 3, I think, common Lashon Hara ethical dilemmas and how we would approach them.